Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY25 Anupam Rasayan India Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Krishna Patel from EY. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Hamshad, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Anupam Rasayan India Limited's Q4 FY25 and FY25 earnings conference call. To take us through the results and to answer your questions today, we have with us the management of Anupam Rasayan, represented by Mr. Anand Desai, the Managing Director, Mr. Gopal Agrawal, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Amit Khurana, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vishal Thakkar, Deputy Chief Financial Officer. The discussions that we may have today may contain certain forward-looking statements relating to future events and future performances. Numerous factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Please note the audio of this earnings call is a copyright material of Anupam Rasayan India and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted, attributed in press or media without specific written consent of the company. With this, I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Anand Desai, the Managing Director, for his opening comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Krishna. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings call of Anupam Rasayan. Before we start, I would like to express my grief on the recent events that took place in Kashmir. It is with great pride and gratitude that I take this opportunity to thank our Honorable Prime Minister and our armed forces for working day and night to protect us and ensure the safety and sovereignty of our nation. Let me begin by sharing an overview of our performance in the quarter and FY2025. The consolidated revenue for the quarter Q4 FY25 stood at INR 506 crores, registering a growth of 22% YOY and a 31% QOQ. Consolidated revenue for the full year FY25 stood at ₹1,448 crores, registering a decline in growth of 4% YOY. This performance was supported by growth in pharma and polymer segments, coupled with strong performance from Stentech. Margins have remained consistent this quarter, reflecting our focus on operational efficiency and a favorable product mix. While the first half of FY25 was subdued due to weak macro conditions, I am pleased to share that the second half has shown clear signs of recovery, particularly in Q4 of FY25, where we have seen meaningful improvement with sales increasing both year-on-year and sequentially also. This marks a positive turn in momentum and reinforces the growth is gradually coming back. While working capital remains a challenge due to a recent slowdown in sales, improving the working capital intensity is going to be one of the key focus areas for the management, along with sustaining the revenue growth that we have seen this quarter. We anticipate a gradual easing of working capital intensity, which improves revenue in FY26. Both inventory levels and receivables are expected to reduce meaningfully over the course of the year. Also, majority of our customers are large multinational companies who have undertaken rationalization of supply chains and working capital at their end over the last 18 to 24 months, and which is now largely complete, where we have supported them. As business growth resumes, customers shall be able to reciprocate by supporting us in optimizing our working capital cycle going forward. Our pharma and polymer segments continue to be strong pillars of our performance, contributing steadily to our top line and aligning with our strategy to diversify the revenue base. The agrochemical sector, which faced demand challenges in the earlier part of the year, has started to show signs of revival. This is further strengthened by the ramp-up of a recently launched key molecule in the agrochemical sector, coupled with the recovery in volumes of existing molecules. In terms of geography, the Japan market continues to lead our growth with strong customer engagement and long-term visibility. We are also excited about the opportunities emerging from the U.S. market. With recent LOIs and signed contracts with U.S.-based MNCs, we expect meaningful contribution to begin from FY26. This is in line with the strategy of deepening presence in high-value markets and geographical diversification. With this, I would like to now hand over the call to our CEO, Mr. Gopal Agarwal, to take you through the business and operational updates in greater detail. Over to you, Gopal Bhai.
Thank you, Anand Bhai. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As Anupam highlighted, Q4 makes a clear shift in momentum. Our pharma and polymer segment continue to show strong traction, supported by new molecule launches, growing customer demand. In FY25, we launched over 9 molecules, 5 in pharma, 3 in agro, and 1 in polymer segment. The electronic segment, the agrochemical segment, which has been subdued for several quarters, is showing early signs of recovery. Among geographies, Japan continues to lead our global expansion, driven by long-term contracts and a robust product pipeline. Japan contributed 17% of sales in Q4 FY25, and we expect it to be over 20% of sales in FY26 on back of recently signed LOI contract and addition of new customers. I'm also pleased to share that we are seeing strong traction in United States, having recently signed a contract and an LOI with a US-based company for a high-performance specialty chemical used in critical power applications like defense, electronics, and aerospace. This strengthens our foothold in US, and we believe this opportunity will begin to contribute meaningfully and be over 10% of our sales in FY26. As of now, our order book stands at around 14,646 crores spread over 4 to 10 years, out of which 3,100 crores worth of LOIs and contracts have already been commercialized, contributing to over 20% of our revenue in FY25. Majority of the balance LOI and contracts are expected to be commercialized in FY26. With all these levers in place across new products, geographies, strong order book, and enhanced capacity, we remain confident of a strong performance going forward. We remain confident in our ability to return to historical growth rates prior to the recession slowdown. With this, I would like now to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Amit Khurana, for a detailed update on financial performance. Over to you, Amit bhai.
Thank you, Gopal bhai, and good afternoon, everyone. I will now walk you through the financial performance for the quarter and the year ended March 31st, 2025. Starting with the CAPEX update, as of March 31st, we have completed nearly 670 crores of the planned CAPEX. 2 manufacturing facility already commercialized and 1 new manufacturing facility ready for commercialization in the upcoming quarter. This will significantly enhance our production capacity and support the next phase of growth. Further, we expect our debt levels to decline going forward. The proceeds from warrant conversion expected in FY26 will be utilized to repay long-term debt. Approximately 185 crores of long-term debt will be settled through this route, significantly aiding to deleverage the balance sheet. Speaking about the segment-wise performance, life science-related specialty chemicals contributed 84.4%, and 86.7% of the total revenue as on Q4 FY25 and FY25 respectively. The pharma segment revenue grew 41% and 92% YOY in Q4 FY25 and FY25 respectively, reaching 21.9% of the sales in FY25 on account of 10 new product launches in pharma in FY24 and 5 new product launches in FY25. Performance material contributed 16.6% and 13.3% of the total revenue as on Q4 FY25 and FY25 respectively. This segment revenue grew 83% and 18% YOY in Q4 FY25 and FY25 respectively on account of 2 new molecules launches in FY24 and 1 product in FY25. With that, I'll now hand over to our Deputy CFO, Mr. Vishal Thakkar, to share detailed quarterly and annual financial performance. Over to you, Vishal bhai.
Thank you, Amit bhai. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being with us today, especially on a Saturday afternoon. Really, thank you for that. I'd like to share some of the key performance highlights for the quarter and the year ended March 31st, 2025. Before we open the floor for Q&A session, I hope you have had the opportunity to review the detailed presentation and the results that we had submitted to the exchanges and posted on our website. Kindly note, our numbers for the quarter and the full year are on consolidated basis and they include Tenpack numbers as well. Let me first discuss the consolidated financial highlights for the quarter ended March 31st, 2025. Operating revenue for Q4 FY25 was at rupees 500 crores as compared to 401 crores in Q4 FY24, up 25% YOY. EBITDA, including other income, was at rupees 150 crores in Q4 FY25 as compared to rupees 105 crores in Q4 FY24, up 43% YOY. This translates to EBITDA margin of 30% in this quarter. Profit after tax was at rupees 63 crores in Q4 FY25 as compared to rupees 41 crores in Q4 FY24, up 56% YOY. Top 10 customers contributed about 71% of our total revenue in Q4 FY25. Talking about the full year financials, operating revenue for FY25 was at rupees 1,437 crores as compared to rupees 1,475 crores in FY24, down 2.6% YOY. EBITDA, including other income, was at rupees 412 crores in FY25 as compared to rupees 411 crores in FY24, up 0.4% YOY. This would translate to 29% EBITDA margin in this period. Profit after tax was at rupees 160 crores in FY25 as compared to rupees 167 crores in FY24. With that, we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Meet Gada from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, team, on achieving highest-ever standalone quarterly EBITDA. I have a couple of questions. Firstly, I see that your quarterly revenue from the agro business vertical has nearly doubled as compared to the average of last three quarters amidst this challenging macro environment. I want to understand that what has led to such growth all of a sudden and whether it is because of any LOI which has kicked in, and if you can throw light on what product you have sold, and whether should we assume similar quarterly run rate for FY26 as well.
Hi, Meet. Good afternoon. Thank you for this question, and thanks for appreciating the results. First, yes, as we had mentioned and as Anand and Gopal in the opening remarks also mentioned that the demand in the agro segment is coming back, and that's what we are seeing. So the volumes are coming back. And especially, as Anand mentioned in his opening remark, that that is one of the key molecules which has been also ramped. The ramp-up of that molecule has happened. It's a high-value critical molecule. It's an AI molecule. We had signed an LOI in Q4 2022, and that LOI product is now getting executed, and the ramp-up is happening for that product. If you see that this AI is having a pricing of triple digit in dollar terms in kg, and also this is a large molecule with 2,800 metric tons of the total market size. Our customer is expecting around 5%-10% of revenue, sorry, market share of that, and that should really give us a very strong revenue in 2026 and going forward. We expect that this molecule should be one of our leading molecules which will contribute a triple digit revenue in terms of growth in coming days.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Secondly, on the recent LOI with Elementium Materials for supply of chemicals and advanced electrolyte critical for EV batteries, can you tell me something more on this customer product and the product potential, and will it be beneficial for the Indian battery ecosystem as well? And you've mentioned that if this product is successful, you will be putting up a plant. So how much CapEx will be required there, and will it be a dedicated plant or not?
Yes, this is another one which is a very, very unique and a very marquee LOI that we have signed with Elementium. Elementium is an MIT-backed and MIT-founded company, which is really focusing on high-end electrolytes for the battery, especially on the lithium-ion battery side, which is the largest-selling technology battery in the battery technology in the world. So lithium-ion is the largest one by far, catering to, in terms of U.S. batteries, if you look at it, 70-80% of the batteries today would be lithium or its derivatives. And this company is really focusing on providing electrolytes, which are of new age, high-end, which improves the storage capacity, which improves the time to charge, which improves the life cycle. So the number of cycles that the battery can take will be higher. The safety parameters are far more improved. So all this really matters, as you are aware. It will matter for any new age batteries that is there, which may be used for EVs or for your energy storage, static energy storage, or for your mobile batteries and various other applications. So in each of them, the lithium-ion comes into play, and in those batteries, this electrolyte and the platforms of electrolytes that Elementium is manufacturing will be critical and enhancing one, and which is what Anupam is going to provide, one of the strong fluorinated product, which has been developed, and now we are commercializing it in, we are expecting to commercialize it in 2026. 2026 will start with a decent size volume, but as we had mentioned in our announcement as well, that the initial volumes will be provided from our current plant, but as we go, they are looking at a very significant ramp-up in terms of the volumes. And that, for a larger volume, because they are expecting 10x higher volumes from us going after 2026 onwards, post-2026. So that time, we will need to have a capacity added. Yes, we can have that capacity within our plants, existing plants as well. And we are sizing the plant capacities, CapEx. Once we finalize those, we will share with you as well in terms of the costing and other specific details of those. But this, again, as we have been talking about, this can be a very, very large product for us. This will be, if I believe what my customers has projected to us, this should give us a very strong, one of the blockbuster products for us going forward.
Understood. So is there any competition for this product from China or anything of that sort? Or is it a patented kind of?
So let me take it in two parts. One, this is a patented one. This is basically developed by these Elementium. So there is a strong IP. There is a strong IP protection there. I would make that statement because of their process and knowledge. And the second thing is, as we had seen in the recent past, especially the last 3 to 6 months, that there is a strong relook that all the purchasing countries are having a relook on their supply chain sourcing in terms of supply chain sourcing geographies. And if you look at the LOIs that we signed with Korea, Japan, and with the other countries, this as well, is a clear indication that we as a country are becoming a preferred choice. So with Elementium, we are the primary supplier for them for this product. And again, this is a product which is again a fluorinated product, where our vertical integration really comes in very strongly from Tenpac and the acquisition of Tenpac as well. So we believe that we have a very strong edge on our product.
Got it, got it. So is there a possibility that you can add up more products on battery chemicals front, what other competitors are doing?
So, definitely there are slew of products that we are working on, and please appreciate that all these products, if you look at it, largely are dependent upon fluorine also as one of the moiety in the product configuration, which ensures that there are limited number of players that would be really be able to play the full vertical integrated project, vertical integrated supply solutions for the end consumers. And that also leads us to having a stronger moat when we get to the customers. But also, more importantly, the R&D focus that we have, where we have a slew of products which we are developing in this category, will also come into play strongly, because as you know that you start with a one base molecule or a KSM and then start building up. And that's what we have been doing it, as we had mentioned earlier, in our fluorination strategy. So that will continue to really leverage our R&D investments or the developments that we have done. And as we go, we will see a lot more interesting products coming out from here.
Got it, got it. A few more questions, if I may. Nearly 8,000 crores worth of LOI will commercialize in CY25, FY26 and start contributing to the top line. So based on the average contractual period, nearly 1,000 to 1,200 crores of annual revenues can be expected. What is your outlook on this number?
So, as Gopal bhai also mentioned, in terms of commercialization of the LOIs and the revenue contribution, we saw that 20% of the current revenue is contributed from the LOIs, commercialized LOIs. And you rightly identified that, yes, it would be in the range of the number that you've spoken in terms of the fully ramped up potential of the current and near-term commercialized, the LOIs that are expected to be commercialized in near-term. And we believe that in the near to medium term, that full ramp up should come in, which would ensure that the revenue growth that we have been anticipating for us or projecting for us or guiding is looking more robust. As I was mentioning, that the CapEx has also been completed, so we have enough capacity to really ramp up those LOIs, and that would mean that we will have a strong continuous revenue growth that we can expect from here on, is what I can say here. Coming from the LOIs, as we have said, that the number that you are saying in terms of revenue per year, I think we should be able to add to our revenue base in next 2 to 3 years time.
Got it. So any growth guidance for the standalone top line for FY26?
Okay. I think Gopal bhai indicated that. Let me put it in a very simple term, that we should be coming back to our historical growth rates, which have been in the range of 25 to 30% plus. And I think we should be able to continue to see that kind of a growth from 26 onwards.
Got it. With similar EBITDA margin.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I may request you to rejoin the question queue for follow-up question.
It's okay. Let me answer this question and then we can take it up. Okay. So maybe yes, the margins will be quite similar if you really see, like, as we had also mentioned historically, that we typically look at on a CSM side, we typically look at a margin profile which is consistent. And the current margins, if you look at it, has also been in the similar range, and we expect that the newer products should also give us a similar kind of a margin range, 26 to 28%, which historically we've been guiding. I think that looks fair too.
Got it. And on the tax incident part, what should we build in for the next year?
I didn't hear you.
On the tax rate, what should we build in for next year?
tax rate.
Yeah.
The average tax rate that you've seen in the past, I think you can pick that up for the next year. We should be in the similar range.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankur from Axis Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity. First question on the growth here. While year-on-year basis, I'm referring standalone numbers. Year-on-year basis, we are seeing a 20-odd% degrowth. What is the volume number here in terms of how we have performed in volume terms for the quarter and for the full year?
So, Ankur, largely this degrowth, if you see on an annual basis, is largely on account of volume. Very, very, very limited will be based on the price. In fact, so that's one. Two, if I were to put for the Q4, if you see, we have marginally grown from a year-on-year basis. And again, that's largely volumes. Average revenue per ton has increased marginally, but largely it is the volume which has driven the revenue growth or the revenue degrowth in both the cases.
Sure. And what was the volume growth in FY24? If you can help us remind that.
Oh, I will have to pull that out. I'm sorry.
There was no realization led decline in FY24 is where I'm coming from. So this number.
No. If I remember well, I think price has not been a large factor in terms of either cases, both when we ramped up or when we ramped down. Largely, it was this volume which has been really, really there. Some bit of it maybe because of the product mix and hence, but not from a like-to-like escalation of any price movements.
Sure. So, Vishalvi, as I understand, we have a pass-through clause with our
Correct.
Customers wherein any increase or decrease in raw material prices is immediately passed through. I'm just wondering, across the industry, everyone is showing a pricing decline here, given the decline that we are seeing from China, whether excess capacity or inventory issue or whatever. But in our case, you mentioned entire revenue decline is volume driven. There is no pricing impact. So there is no pricing decline for our raw materials per se for the last year.
So again, As I said, there may be some bit. I'm not trying to leave that allowance for that, right? But yeah, largely, see, again, I have been holding up a level of inventory also, and that also is there where it is the reason why you're saying that my prices have not been too much impacted. Also, second thing, please appreciate that my RMC in the whole total costing will be around about 30-40% at best. So the impact of price of RM really affecting my sales price is also so much less. One, two. Three, if you look at it for me, the average realization has been what I was saying, that my average realization over the last 2 years has been flattish because the prices have been largely stabilized in the segment that I am talking about. Right? Except there is a small bit of a movement in the input raw material like the nitrobenzene or otherwise, but that does not significantly impact my final output of the price that really drives the whole 20-30% revenue change in my 1,300 crores kind of a revenue. This is what I'm trying to say.
Sure, and when you guided that we will be going back to a 25% plus sort of a revenue growth, this is also all volume led. So there is no pricing impact, neither in an inventory, high cost inventory sitting there, nothing of that sort, and neither on the revenue side, right? Just confirm that.
So yes, so I think let me take that opportunity to make one statement before I make. So whatever is the inventory that I am holding, I will be able to pass it on as I have been able to pass it on in the past as well, including the last few years when the price volatility was also very, very pertinent. So one, that I'm making that statement, as I said.
As we go, yes, volume-led growth will be there because we are introducing new products in pharma, polymer, and the performance chemicals segment. And also volume growth will come back from the agro side as well, where the old molecules which had a lower volume offtake in last 2 years are also, we are seeing that is an addition to coming back. In addition to what I talked about, one of the new AI that we launched, that also will continue to ramp up. But yes, largely it is volume driven. On a like product to product basis, it is volume. There is no repricing of my existing inventory that is there with me.
Sure. And just a clarification there, the incremental raw material also that you might be buying in, there is no significant pricing increase or decrease versus the channel inventory average that we have.
True. I'll tell you what, if I see, one product to product, it may be, maybe that Ankur, we may be able to see that in one product, but when I look at the portfolio of my RM, if you see for last 8 quarters, I have not seen any significant change which will really determine too much of my change in my final product. There has been in some products, some categories, the volume, the prices have dropped. Some categories, the prices have gone up. But on a total basis, when I look at it, that itself is not moving significantly. And if it is not moving significantly, its translation to that in my revenue is going to be limited, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, fair enough. Second bit on, the LOIs that we have, so 14,600 odd crores as highlighted in our PPT. Let's say I'm taking an average of 7 years for them to fructify. So they will take 2,000 crores of annual revenue run rate. At the 20% contribution from LOIs that Gopal bhai highlighted earlier, I presume was on the standalone basis. Is that right?
True.
Yeah, so out of 950,
you can take a ballpark.
Yeah, so let's say 200 crores is already there. So what we are saying is 1800 crores of incremental revenue is going to come from these LOIs, plus the 700 crore plus base that we will have, which will grow at whatever pace. Is that the right assumption?
Yes. Yes. But we have to be mindful that all that will take its own time to first commercialize and then to ramp up. But
let's say four years out, you are looking at a 2,500 crores of this revenue based on the current LOI itself. What is the right time frame? 3 years or 5 years?
So see, there will be sequencing of it. The 22 number, so the LOI that we did in 2022, those have come to 200 crores broadly, that kind of a number, right? Now that number will ramp up as we go, right? So next year,
what I'm trying to say is that today around 200 crores is what I've done in this year, which is largely from the LOI that we had signed in 2022. Now, similarly, the 2023 LOIs are expected to commercialize in 2026. Now, it will take its time 2 to 3 years to ramp it up to full. I think if I look at all the numbers and I'm looking at all the LOIs, Ankur, most of my LOIs should be commercialized in 26 and a couple of them are in 27, 28. So from there, 2 to 3 years is where you can really safely say that, yes, I should look at the majority of my revenue of 2000 that you are talking about. So I agree with you.
Sure.
It will be that time frame.
Sure. And the current gross block, what is the peak revenue we can do?
So current gross block, if I add the new plant as well, 3,000 plus to 3,500 plus kind of a revenue is expected, can be expected from these products. And also I would like to also mention that as we go, as my product mix also evolves, this number can expand as we go. But today I would, with the current product portfolio, I would look at this kind of a number, 3,000 to 3,500, barring one that we had talked about, the battery one, where at some point I might have to do a capex. But let's wait for that, and I'll come back as we finalize those numbers.
Sure. And lastly, on the working capital, the inventory side. As I understand, for full year, pharma polymer, as you highlighted, were the bigger growth drivers versus AgChem. And if I'm not wrong, these are the ones which have lower working capital as a business cycle versus an AgChem. Still, we are seeing consistent increase in our inventory as well as receivables. So your thoughts there.
So, Ankur, you rightly identified. I'll divide this into three different buckets. One, my agro volume that I had built up during my 2023, 2024, 2023 period. If you look at 2023, I was growing at around about 25-30% CAGR every year. And that time I had a 1,300 crores of revenue, of which 70-odd% was coming from the agro, sorry, which would mean that around about 900 crores of agro revenue was there. And based on that, I was building my inventory and supply chain, which I have not got enough opportunity to liquidate. So that inventory is with me, which now as we go forward, we will be able to liquidate as the agro demand is coming back. Two is on the pure pharma and polymer. If you really see, yes, that will have a lower working capital intensity as we go, especially pharma, where the inventory will be of a lower volume, but the receivables will be of a longer tenor, because Indian buyers, you know how they act. They are. Now here the thing is that in last 18 months, I would have launched 15 new molecules for pharma, and similarly 5-odd plus for performance chemical. So if you look at those, what inventories have to be built up, because as you are aware that we will be doing a campaign campaign production. So those are there, which as the volume ramp up for per product, that will come into a more normalized inventory levels rather than the bunch of inventory that we are having today. So yes, as we go, the working capital working capital intensity should reduce. And with the increase in the revenue, I have two advantages that will come up. One is my ability to liquidate, and two is also the base volume increases significantly to justify the kind of a working capital that we have invested in.
Sure. So out of 550 days of inventory, 360 odd days is only agro inventory, 900 crores as you highlighted. And the balance will be for rest of the business. That's a fair understanding.
I am not confirming that right now, but yes, principally it looks a larger majority part of from there, but it looks largely for that. But I would, if I can, I can look at the exact numbers and come back to you separately as well, if that helps.
Sure, that's helpful. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good afternoon and congratulations on your fourth quarter performance. So if you look at the first half of last year, revenues were beaten down compared to FY23. So on that base, what should we expect in terms of normalized run rate for revenue per quarter in the first half? So I understand the big picture, but in terms of the how the revenue will move over the next four quarters for the FY26 run rate, if you can give us some sense in terms of how that build will happen, and then what is the kind of margin we should expect compared to whatever margins you have reported in fourth quarter, which seems to be recovering. So last year, first quarter and second quarter, your margins were also depressed at 22% and 27%. So if you can put the numbers in context in terms of how you expect the revenue run rate to ramp up and what kind of margins we should expect, for the first half, that will be helpful.
Okay. So margins, let me come to margins first. Rameshji, I think the margins we would guide to continue to guide at the numbers that we've been guiding in the past. I think that's the number that we should look for. there are quarters when you will have a better margins because of the product mix. But lastly, I will continue to guide at the numbers that we have been historically having. In terms of intra-year revenue, anyways, we have guided on, we have suggested what we are looking at in terms of our revenue in FY26. However, if I split it into to H1 and H2, I think H1 we should be looking at around about 40-45% of the total year's revenue, which also is the typically the kind of numbers that we have been historically seeing because of cyclicity of the industry. And H2 will be around about 55-60%, both coupled because of the ramp up of my products also will take its time and the revenue will be there, and accordingly I would say that this is the broad guidance that I can suggest if we were to interpolate the quarterly numbers.
Okay, so you referred to some blockbusters in the AI and the EV related chemicals. So if you ignore the capex required for the ramp up in the aluminium JV and the AI, what is the kind of revenue potential you see, say, over the next 2-3 years in this AI and these battery chemicals, say, over the next 2-3 years?
So the agro AI that we talked about, we do not need any capex at all. And that, as I had said, I will say, I don't want to specifically pick a number and tell you that number, but I can tell you that this market is around about 2,800 metric tons. My customer is looking at around about 5-10% of that market in the near term. So if I take that, we can do the math from there. This is a triple digit dollar per ton product. Per kg, sorry, my bad. I'm sorry for that. So product dollar per kg product. So you can really see the kind of potential that we are talking about here. And this is a long term product which we'll be looking at for at least 5-7 years and growing from there. Right? That's what I can suggest. Let's come to the aluminium product. Aluminium product again. Just a minute. Aluminium again. This is a product which is a very high application that we can see where next this year is where we will be starting the supply, which will be a smaller volume supply, which as we go forward, we are expecting it to, or the demand that has been given to us under the LOI, that we will be required to supply them 10x of what we will give them in CY26. As we had also suggested in our announcement, this number should be around about $350 to $400 million of revenue over 7 years.
So for this $350-$400 million of revenue, what is the additional capex required? That is a bigger question.
I would request that rather than me making a ballpark number, I can give you those details in the next call or when we are ready. For the first 1,000 tons, we will not require any capex. So my 2026 demand will be serviced from this capex, this current capex or current capacities itself. Once we ramp up or once we have a take or pay contract is when we will think about looking at a capex as we go.
So just to belabor this point on this aluminium order, so that total order size, out of the total order size, what percentage can you execute with the current assets?
Current assets, we can do around about 1,000 tons, which is around about 60-70 crores per annum. We can easily do it. We can also squeeze in a little bit more as we go. But right now, because see, always you have to also see that the capex is also not always 0 and 1. I can expand my current capacity by debottlenecking and doing few things where I can go to 100 also. But yes, if I have to do the number that we are mentioning, which is around about 70 to 80 million dollars, $70 to $90 million kind of a revenue per annum, then we would definitely need to invest in CapEx.
Okay, now if I may move to the product mix, on the current mix you have shared on agrochemicals, pharma, personal care and specialty. So what is the kind of growth we can expect in pharma and polymers? And then how would the numbers look for crop protection and personal care in FY26? You know, to put it in context in terms of the, you know, ramp up in molecules, if you can give that, that will be useful.
So, see, today if you look at pharma is around about 20% plus of our revenue. We expect that that should be 20 to 25% of our revenue next year on an expanded base. In terms of performance chemical, it is around about 15% plus in 2025. We should expect 25 plus percent of FY26 revenue on an expanded revenue base. My personal care should be around about 8 to 10% or plus or minus 1 or 2 percentage points, and balance should be agro.
Okay, so the bulk of the growth will come from your pharma and polymers. That's what you are saying.
And agro will come back. So my lost volume, lost revenue, I should come back reasonably.
So in terms of the delta in margins, I'll accept that, you know, you're talking about a ballpark 26-28%. But if you were to, you know, look at the shift in product mix impacting margins, all the segments obviously can't give you the same margin. So the growth in pharma and polymers, how does it, you know, impact the percentage margin movement, say on a YOY basis and basis points?
So, Ramesh ji, what I can say is this: is pharma typically has a little lower EBITDA margin profile compared to the agro and polymer. Polymer has one of the stronger EBITDA margins. So, if you look at it, the pharma and polymer tends to knock off to a large extent. And to that extent, that's the reason I'm more inclined to guide in the historical thing, because agro will continue, but pharma and polymer will knock each other off broadly, leading to a similar margin profile.
Okay. So one last question on the working capital and the debt. So if everything works out well, after this warrant, the proceeds are used to repay debt, what is your internal expectation on the net working capital days by 27? What is the kind of debt we should be looking at by FY27?
So see, 27, if you ask me, we would be looking at coming to around about 200 odd days, plus or minus 20 days of my working capital. That's what we as management have the target for us. One, long-term debt will be practically zero, because that should largely be done through with the warrants conversion by this year itself. And the one more point that I can say that if you look at this half, we have generated an operating cash flow of around about 140 odd crores. And if we are able to achieve our working capital targets that we have said, within two years, those cash flows should also be able to improve the working capital utilization, adjusted for the higher working capital requirement absolute basis based on the higher revenue. So that's the math we will have to do. But largely, what I am saying is the term debt will be practically zero for us, and working capital should be more coming to the lines that I had mentioned for that 2020.
What about the short-term debt? That's around 100 crores. So will you see any meaningful...
It is a balancing figure, because the cash is largely going to be consumed only for the working capital, right?
Okay.
So to that extent, it is a balancing figure to my mind in terms of utilization of working capital, because there is not too much of a repayment pressure on the term debt side, because term debt is practically going to be zero. So largely it will go to this.
So what is the net working capital days we should assume for the incremental revenue from the new contracts? So will it be in that 120, 150 days, or will it be closer to the 200 days? That will help us understand the cash flows.
Yeah, you can take it at 150 to 180 days.
Okay, that's very useful. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Gada from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the follow-up. I just wanted to have a clarity on this AI product. I believe it is Pyroxy cell phone, and there is a patent expiry which is coming in. So can you highlight, so you've given triple digit dollar guidance for that product. So what is the outlook, if I may ask?
So Meet, I would not want to make any statement on the name. I leave it for you, because you guys are more educated and have better information. So I will leave it there. And I hope you appreciate that. And pardon me for not confirming or rejecting that. And two, in terms of its regulatory approvals, this regulatory approvals are taken care by the customers. They have validated this regulatory approvals from their end, and post that they have given us an order, and that gives us a fair bit of a confidence that the kind of guidance that they have given us and kind of commitments that they have shown given us in terms of their readiness and willingness to offtake the volumes that they have projected, we feel very confident of these revenues coming on stream. And as you could you would have seen it in our performance as well, that this year itself we have done around about $6 odd million of money from that product, and it should ramp up as we go.
Got it, sir. That would be helpful. That's it from me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Thakkar for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for your active participation and for your questions. We hope we have been able to answer all your queries. And one more, once again, thank you very much for joining us on Saturday afternoon. Hope we have not kept you away from your lunch, hopefully. And in case if you have any other questions that either we have missed or you have any further queries, please reach out to our IR partner, Arun Sinha, and they will connect with you offline. If there is anything more, please feel free to connect with them. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Anupam Rasayan India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.